The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
It was not the way that, of course, everyone was hoping and the stereotype and envisioned it of being, but still a fun Christmas party.
It was like everybody else's Christmas party.
That's right, that's right. But I will say, and I want to come out here on the air to start this morning, I will say kudos to Tommy Kraft, because I have been to some Christmas parties, all right? I've been to Christmas parties while I was in high school working at Best Buy, was Enterprise, all these other different places that I've worked. But Tommy Kraft, by far, had the best gifts for his employees than any other Christmas party I've ever been to in the office. So I've got to give kudos to Tommy Kraft.
I take a lot of... I personally shop for all those. No help. The wife doesn't go. I don't get any... I don't seek input, and I don't take input.
Do you wrap them, too?
Well, as you notice, most of them were in gift bags.
Yeah. Hey,
or
technically it's wrapping.
Gift boxes. So if that counts, then yes, count me in. There were two larger items yesterday that required wrapping paper. Mm-hmm. And I'll just... Yes, I did it myself.
There you go.
Yes!
You're a great rapper.
Yes, I did it myself.
Perfect. Yeah,
that is something that, as far as the gift buying and the... Because here's what we do, just for those outside. What in the hell are they talking? As a company, it's not me personally, the company purchases nice gifts for all the employees, and then we just play Dirty Santa with it.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that's not a big deal, Kraft. You went out and spent money. Well, think about this. You got to go buy for 23 people, and you don't know who's going to get what. Now, if I was going to go buy something for John, and I was going to spend, I got a budget for per person, that would be a much easier task.
Yeah.
To go and just buy John a gift and Ty a gift and Nick a gift.
Because you'd have an idea of what specifically they'd want. Yeah.
Sure. But now I've got to go buy 23 gifts that work.
Generally enough.
Generally enough, male or female. But things that people want that they don't think, I don't want a crummy gift. I got a crummy gift, you know. When everybody leaving thinking, man, this is something that my family can use and I can use. Be awesome.
Yeah. Well, so you did
a good
job.
I take a lot of pride in trying to make that. I put a lot of time in.
Yeah, you did a good job. I mean, I personally was...
What did you end up with?
I ended up with a massive bottle of vodka.
And you got the Ciroc, didn't you?
Yes, I got the Ciroc. Like
this was the big, biggest one they have.
It's the biggest bottle of vodka I've probably ever
1.75 liter bottle of vodka.
I mean, we'll see how long that lasts. And then I also was able to...
What is it paired with?
Patron.
A bottle of Patron, all right.
So that's what I'm saying, like... Yeah. High-end stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. Then,
this ain't going out and getting Burnett's. I mean, that's good vodka right there. You know, I mean, it's the good stuff. So, yeah, I ended up with that. But I'll tell you what, which I love, and I appreciate it all. But, man, it would have been really nice to have that air fryer. Now, that might have been the best gift of all of them. Personally, I think so.
I actually kind of bought that with you guys in mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because we would like to have an air fryer or what?
We bought one at the house 6 months ago. I think I've told this to Ty more because Ty really likes
food. Yeah.
And folks, and he's one of these guys that makes all of us in our 40s and 50s, we just like to throat punch Ty Richardson, because this kid over here, he can go to like Burger King and eat like 30 nuggets. And then...
And fries.
And then that's just like a snack.
Mm-hmm.
And then like for lunch, give me a couple burgers and some more fries. And then a pizza mid-afternoon. And then for dinner, what are we having for dinner? About 6 foot, 6'1", buck 70, buck 80, something like that?
Yeah, about 6 feet, 185.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Doesn't gain an ounce from any of that. It'll catch up with him eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
And this is what... So, an air fryer has been an awesome addition to the Kraft household, because you can throw things in the air fryer that you would never, ever cook in... I mean, you know, I'm not going to make onion rings I'm not going to get grease out and fry onion rings at the house.
Yeah.
But you give me some frozen onion rings, I throw them in the air fryer.
And it makes everything
Taste just like they came out of the grease at Sonic or something.
No, see, and I've heard a lot of that. But by the time it got around to me, because we all know how the rules
were. Well, that was
the
hot item.
Yeah, it had already been stolen twice, so I couldn't even steal it.
I'm sure who ended up with that.
I'm not sure.
Bought two of those.
Yeah, I mean, they were hot ticket item if there was one. So, but no, they had some great gifts. I think that everybody that ended up with a gift, there's no one. I don't think anyone got screwed over in the deal or ended up on the short end of the stick. I think everybody got something that it was just. I looked at all the gifts. I'm like, I could use every one of these, and I would have been perfectly content.
I got the radar, the nice Cobra high end radar detector.
Which don't tell
actually,
Officer Breeden.
Well, hey, it says it's legal.
Was the officer there when y'all pulled up this morning?
What's that?
Was the officer there when y'all pulled up this morning in front of the church? Or did he already left?
He may have already left.
It wasn't Officer Breeden, because I kind of slowed down. I was going to say hi, and then it turned out it wasn't him. And he would have been like, who is this kid at 5:15 in the morning?
Yeah, you don't
might have to
want to make sure.
Go to my holster.
So. Yeah. No, but if you got the radar detector, I guess now you can go at your own speed. Do what you need to do.
You know. I'm too old for some of that.
Yeah. Well, you also, but that's not the
It's too expensive, is what
that's
it is.
That's not the big gift, though, that you ended up with, because we all got you a great gift, hopefully.
The staff was very kind and got me a GoPro.
Yeah, an underwater GoPro. Yeah.
And I'm very excited about it. We got a family trip for spring break planned, and that's going to be awesome. But my son, who says he's up right now, I don't know if he was up when I left, because we were trying to figure this camera thing out, and his sound on his computer wasn't working yesterday. So one place I knew we could go get sound on his computer was our video feed from yesterday, which was up. So I just used that kind of as a test.
Mm-hmm.
Figured it. And he thought that was like the coolest thing ever. You know. So he says he's up right now. He was up when I left the house, which is way too early for I'm sure his teacher's going to love that today.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because he wanted to watch the morning rush on the video stream.
I think there's a lot of people out there that do that, too.
I think it had more to do with getting in around a fortnight before school.
Yeah, I'd say if you're up that early, might as well be productive,
right? I think he was playing Fortnite. Well, bad parenting. I told him, I said, get your butt back to bed.
It's Christmas time. You know, it's time.
They only got a week left. Less than a week.
I know, which is going to be great, because next week, of course, I'm going to make the show a little more Christmas theme, where Christmas music's going to be playing, and, you know, we're going to be getting in the holiday spirit, because we already had our sweaters, which, by the way, I think we Christmas ourselves out, because, you know, me and Ty has been wearing a lot of Christmas sweaters and whatnot. We're not Christmassy at all this morning, so I guess you'd probably be more Christmassy than any of us. You got a red thing quarter Crazy. Zip on there. Yeah, we'll go with that. So, but either way, it's gonna be just a week away, and it's amazing that, like, not only are we here to Christmas time, but like the fact that 2018 is almost at an end. I mean, it's true. I know that people have been telling me this my whole life, but it just seems like the older you get, the faster the years go by.
There's no question.
I mean, and it is crazy to me how that, because I always thought it was like, okay, whatever. No. It's the older you get. I don't know if it's just because you have a lot more going on. I don't know if it's just because you're not kind of looking around and enjoying and soaking everything in a little more. I don't know. But the fact that we are almost at the end of 2018, going to be heading into 2019, it's just incredible how fast things move.
And if Rod on I-40 calls in, I got beef with him today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But, Rod, I need you to call, because we got to – you have poorly influenced – some other folks in this room, and we must discuss this later on.
We are easily influenced, apparently. Yeah. And we're going to discuss it, but I love Tommy's reaction to it.
Almost broke my finger.
The reaction might have been the best thing of all time.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
I want to switch up a little bit and talk about the Razorback basketball team. Obviously, they got a game down in Little Rock this weekend, going up against Texas San Antonio, trying to bounce back from that Western Kentucky loss. So Arkansas has had roughly about a week, in fact, exactly a week, to go through
finals
the finals. Yeah, go through finals and to try to bounce back here. And I know that, like, I don't want to say that. Maybe I did, but maybe people bought into this team too early because there's still a lot of pieces. And not to say the Western Kentucky loss is going to be so detrimental that's going to keep them out of anything. But you do feel like, though, that Arkansas finds themselves in a situation of how they're going to battle through. And do you think that they have to win the rest of their non-conference games? Like, do you think that's kind of a must?
Are you counting Texas Tech? Are you talking about games till the start of conference
before
play?
Before conference play starts.
Yes, because when we did the calculations, in order to get Arkansas to 19 wins, if you're figuring on a 9-win conference season, 9-9, go 500 in SEC play, you need to go 5 of 7 from the point we figured it. So you've got to win them all now down the stretch, and then that gives you the leeway if you come up short against Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That gets
you to 19. Yeah, because I'm with you. I don't think they're going to win in Lubbock. And if my math serves right, when we did this, that gets you to 19 going to Nashville.
Because you have 4 non-conference games left until the conference slate starts. So saying you go 4-0, and that's Texas, San Antonio, Georgia Tech, Texas State, and Austin right. Peay. So yeah, that 4 wins, that gets you at 10-2.
10, and then 9. You know.
Then 9 from conference play, assuming you lose to Texas Tech. Yeah, you got 19 wins, though.
But 19. Yeah.
I don't know if that's enough.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's just to get you to 19. That's not enough to get you in the tournament. But then you go to Nashville, you win a couple.
Get you 21 wins.
And then maybe you can find a way to be 10-8 versus 9-9.
Yeah.
You certainly can't have any shot being 8-10 in the league. 9-9 is like the minimum. We're just talking about how do you get in the bubble conversation.
Yes, the bare minimum.
We're not talking about this team's going to the tournament. No. We're just talking how do you get in the conversation.
No.
Well, you got to go 9-9 in league play. You got to win all of these non-conference games. If you could beat Texas Tech, that'd be a huge game for your resume. And then if you could find a way to go 10-8, that puts you like 21. And then you got a real case then. Maybe you're on the right side of the bubble at that point.
Yeah, and you also have a lot of things going for you if you're Arkansas. For instance, the fact that you're playing in the SEC now, we feel like the SEC is starting to garner a lot more respect as a conference, as a basketball conference, than what they have in previous years. That's going to help. So if you go 9-9, 10-8, people are going to look at that and say, hey, that's a pretty good record in conference play.
Especially if you could get like one win over Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi State. If you could just go 1-3 against that group.
Yeah.
And you get State at home at least once, but Tennessee and Auburn and Kentucky, you got to play them all on the road. That would be a quality, and the committee values quality road wins.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a very good, high quality resume road win if they could find a way to steal one of them. And you'd be stealing one of those if you did.
You know what's crazy to think about it? Is you know what might be the easiest one of those four?
Kentucky.
Yeah. And I know John Cal's teams they don't necessarily start great typically. Most years they kind of pick up in the SEC tournament
We're so young.
Yeah, it's the same attitudes as every single year. But it's true. It holds
bad for us.
It holds weight in certain areas. And if you look at his teams, they kind of spark
old Kentucky.
Off.
But that's the way he wants it, though.
Yeah, and that's fine. But Tennessee's top 3 team in college basketball. Like, if you watch, they have one loss in the season, and that's because Grant Williams fouled out against Kansas. They might have won that game. They beat Gonzaga.
Yep.
Auburn's got some veteran guards, which I just don't know if Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones and Jalen Harris will be able to contend with them
Sidebar. How did Bruce Pearl survive all that stuff last year?
The NCAA.
God almighty.
FBI.
That's all you need to say is just the NCAA. Well, that's how he survived it. I don't know. But that's the thing is in college basketball, no one gives a rip.
We were waiting for people with handcuffs to come drag him off the floor.
Tommy, North Carolina made up classes. They were making up grades and classes and nothing happened. I know. And, it was funny because,
I like Bruce Pearl.
No, I do too.
Very entertaining.
I do too. But it's, kind of going off of this sidebar, Mark Few from Gonzaga actually came out and was talking about this and just how the NCAA drags their feet on stuff like this.
Yeah.
There's no consistency to it. There's no method to the madness. And it's very infuriating and frustrating for some of those coaches out there, which I know people joke around that everybody's cheating in college basketball, but there are a lot of coaches out there that try to do it the right way, and they look back and they're like, listen, why are we even doing it this way if the people who are out there buying players, making up classes, committing all these violations, nothing happens to them.
Yeah.
So what's going to keep you from, like you mentioned with Bruce Pearl, Yeah. Good grief.
And
what?
Yet Mark Emmert got an extension, folks.
Yeah, but like, going off that sidebar, but coming back to it and talking about Arkansas, you know, their SEC slate is so great when it comes to competitiveness, because even Texas Tech, they're a borderline top, they're number 11 right now, but I mean, they're going to be a really solid team too. So the last half of the Arkansas schedule is going to be a brutal one, no doubt about it. But I feel, and here's another thing too that I don't think gets brought up enough. Do you know that Arkansas and the SEC in the past four seasons combined has the second best road record in conference play? Behind Kentucky.
Yeah, and Mike started out struggling to win road games.
It was rough. Yeah, because it was like 1-2 a year, maybe.
They have seemed to get a handle on that as a coaching staff and as a program.
Mm-hmm. You know what's
now,
funny?
This year it may be rough again because we just mentioned where they got to go play.
Yeah.
You know he has a better road record than Nolan? But you never think that because of just the... Just kind of the
you're talking
perception.
About for percentages,
yeah, percentage wise,
yeah. Well,
he has
I mean,
a better record than Nolan.
And
on the
not
road.
To take anything away from Mike or anything like that, but you also got to take into consideration that Mike Anderson's also has two more conference games to play each year because of the additions,
correct,
of Missouri and Texas A&M. So I mean, but I'm not trying to take away anything away from Mike Anderson because that is one thing that he has figured out. I don't know what he's done or how he's overcome it, but one thing that Arkansas has really done a good job of is playing well on the road. Second best road record.
Well, they had to figure that out.
Yeah, they had to. And that's what's been kind of what's elevated Arkansas in their game of making it to the NCAA tournament more consistently is because they're not just a team where, oh, thank goodness it's at Bud Walton Arena or else you're going to lose. They have actually gone on to the road and won some really good games against some really good teams.
I even think the home court edge has been better.
Yeah.
In the last few years.
Fourth in college basketball right now KenPom.
I believe it. It's just, that's the thing is Arkansas has, they found some ways to win some games, especially on the road. It's been solid, but man, when you got to play essentially four top 10 teams in the second half of the season, all on the road, ain't easy.
But it helps your conference RPI.
Oh, it does,
But wasn't I reading the other day the SEC's conference RPI was still like fifth? You're the stats guy.
The
league is still not highly regarded. I mean, unless you think fifth's highly regarded.
No, because
fifth's not.
What that was happening heading into this season is people thought it would contend for like top three, possibly one or two. But they out of the gate, the SEC, I mean, Tennessee got that win over Gonzaga. But if you look at their non-conference games, they really haven't performed so far this season.
Yeah, so what's the best this league could be?
Man, last year, our friend Aaron Torres argues the best in college basketball, and we talked about I don't necessarily agree with that, but we talked about repeatedly how the late Mike Slive wanted this league to contend in that area, and he made sure before he left us that the league's a lot better in college basketball. I'd say, I mean, you got to go against powers like the ACC,
I'm saying third is probably the best they can do.
Third's probably, but if you get third, like you have to be happy if you're Greg Sankey. Mm-hmm. I think.
You've improved, and it's all about how many teams. Because there was a time where Arkansas or the SEC got like two teams, maybe three, because of a play-in game in the tournament. If the SEC can consistently get it to where they're getting close to half of the conference in the NCAA tournament, talking about 6-7 teams, then they'll find themselves in a really good position, that's for sure. Let's go to the phone line. Sterling is in Center Ridge. What's going on, Sterling?
Oh, nothing much. And guys, I totally agree with you. I think this league couldn't get the three, and all I need from the league is to be consistently, the top seven need to get in. You know, if you go 500 in the league, you want to have your league good enough where if you go 10-8 or 9-9, that you're probably going to get in the tournament. And if you don't get in, everybody's mad about it, and you're all over the news for a couple of days. I want to talk to y'all about Stephen A. Smith, and don't get me wrong. I know he's a star, whether you agree or disagree with him, the man has worked hard to get where he is. And y'all are in the business yourself, and I know he has researchers, and I know a lot of stuff he says, is somebody give it to him. But my goodness, what he did yesterday, I don't care who gave him that paper, who gave him the information. When you see Spencer Ware on the paper, red flag. When you see Derek Johnson, who's not even in the league, red flag.
Yeah.
Now he ought to know that himself.
Didn't he say Hunter Henry too?
Yeah, and he said Hunter Henry and how he's played this year. Yeah, that's problematic.
Hunter Henry's done a heck of a job in the rehab room.
Yeah,
getting his knee put back together.
And the thing about it is, when he said everybody makes mistakes and this and that, but I was thinking, I just misspoke, and he would do misspeak. I do it all the time. But he said he was thinking of Virgil Hill. That wasn't much better. He's averaging one catch a game.
Yeah. No, it was.
He's not a guy you would mention.
Yeah, no, it was an epic failure there, which we haven't
Sometimes
even.
You get all this stuff rattling around in your head, and then it just comes out gobbledygook, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. We haven't even played that yet. I do have the audio. We're going to play that later in the show. So, but I appreciate the phone call, Sterling. Yeah. And we'll talk.
He is the best, though. I mean, as far as the guy on the radio that can drive a conversation.
You Stephen A?
Yeah.
He's at the point where he's at for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, why'd you replace him with the crap you put on from 12 to 2?
I get asked that every day. I get asked that a lot.
Ponder that for a little bit.
Easy.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right, so bowl season is about to arrive, where it really gets hot and heavy for college football games, great matchups you normally wouldn't be able to see. And sometimes it seems like the craziest and most entertaining games are the games you really don't even care about. Games against non-Power 5 opponents in crazy destinations. So it's going to be, I enjoy bowl season. I enjoy just being able to sit down and have college football games from all over the place, from all types of unique and creative imagination matchups. But I'm also a big fan of having prop bets and looking at prop bets. And we used to do the fence man pick 'em, which
I think is coming back.
I think someone tied or didn't. No one won that one. It's fine. It's fine.
Selective memory.
So we did that. So we're gonna elevate it a little bit because I like prop bets. And so with the bowl season coming out, Bovada came out with their prop bets for the 2018-2019 bowl season. So we're kind of going to go through these and see what we think. See if we want to maybe put some money down on it, and maybe you'd like to put down some money on it, and we'll give you kind of an update on that as well. So starting it off, okay, the highest total passing touchdowns in a bowl game, all right? The over-under is set at 5.5. And for reference points, the highest number of touchdown passes last year was 5 by Khalil Tate. So would you go over or under?
Now,
four college football bowl games and single game.
So this is
passing touchdowns.
Any bowl game. Anywhere. If they got to, you said it's 5.5.
5.5 is what
they have to get to 6.
Yes, to go the over or under. Last year, highest number was 5 by Khalil Tate.
Probably go under.
Tell you what, let's get some college football music for this one. It always feels right. So, okay, so you're going to go under?
I go under.
I'm going over.
Okay.
Somebody's going to throw 6 touchdowns in a game.
It's like taking the field. I mean, on these kind of bets, it's like taking the field.
Yeah, because there's only 5 that was thrown last year. But, man, the way that some of these offenses
6
perform,
in one game, though, is a lot.
It is a lot. But I'm telling you, somebody's going to end up doing it.
Might be 2 against OU, honestly.
Defense.
Oh, by the way, are we marking these down, or do you want to get your tail kicked again?
He's talking to you, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. Mighty bold talk from the peanut gallery in the audience. I mean, we can write them down. If you want to take a picture, I don't care.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want another loss on your record?
Mm-hmm. Can't win if you can't play the game.
Yeah. All right. It's your funeral.
We can do that.
At least it sounds like he's gotten off the mat finally.
Staging up for a major comeback here. But you know what? That's what's great about me is because with the betting, you just go the opposite way of me and you'll usually end up winning money. So, yeah, I'll take the over. Tommy's going with the under on that one. All right. So the next one, the highest total passing yards in a bowl game. The over-under is set at 529.5. For notes, the highest single passing game last year was 499 yards by Nick Starkle of Texas A&M. So, Tommy, over under 529.5 passing yards in a single bowl game.
Well, if I don't think they're going to throw for 6 or more touchdowns, I guess to be consistent, I would go with the under.
And I guess for me to be consistent, I got to go with the over, because you feel like if somebody threw 6 touchdowns in a single game, they're probably going to have over 500 yards, 529.5. That's a good number, but I'm going to take the over as well. So, Ty, make sure to mark that down. So far, so good. We're kind of going on the opposite here. I like it. All right.
the highest total receiving yards in a bowl game, set at 252.5 yards. Last season, the highest single receiving game was 221 yards by Cedric Wilson of Boise State. So 252.5 yards receiving in a single bowl game, over under.
See, someone like in the Sun Bowl or someone in one of these, the New Orleans Bowl, is just going to go off. That's where I'm going to get stung on these first two. So I'm going to go over on this one just to hedge.
Perfect. I'm going to go under.
Yeah.
This is great. We're going opposite on this one. I like it. And now we're really going to be able to see.
If you catch two, if you broke free a couple of times, I mean, you wouldn't have to have a ton of receptions.
No.
You could just get, you know, it's about the yardage. Every wide receiver's dream, though.
Yeah, it's all about the yardage. So there you have it. So, okay, we're going opposite on that one, too. All right. The highest total rushing yards in a bowl game is set at 254.5 yards per game. The highest single rushing game last year was 220 yards by Rashad Penny.
And the number's what? 254.5. That's a lot more. That's 30 more yards.
It's a lot.
Under.
Under. I'm probably going to go under with this one, too. I'll have to. I can't. Doing it that way. I just that's way too many yards. 254 is a ton of rushing yards. If it was Darren McFadden, maybe, but not with anybody else going on in bowl games. All right, so the next one. Most points scored by one team in a bowl game is set at 61.5. The highest point total last year was 55 points by Wake Forest. So, Tommy, over under 61.5 points by a single team in a bowl game this year.
Over.
Ooh, see, I like that one.
Too many Big 12 teams out there.
Yes, exactly. Give me the under, Ty. I like the under on this one. I think that there'll be people that are pushing it, people that get really close to it. But over 60 points is a lot. But the only thing that, and what's going to kill me is it doesn't include overtime or regulation or anything. It's just total points in a bowl game. So if a bowl game goes to three overtime, something like that, could find myself in a bad situation. So, yeah, give me the under on that one. All right, next one. The largest margin of victory in a bowl game is set at 43.5 points. For notes of last year, the largest margin of victory was 47 points, where FAU, Lane Kiffin, beat Akron. So this year, 43.5 points, largest margin of victory, going over under on that one, Tommy.
34.5 large, under.
I'm going to have to go under, too. Too high. 43.5 margin of victories. 47 was the biggest one last year. Of course, I say that, and you watch Alabama ends up beating Oklahoma by that much. Wouldn't put it past them. And it's funny how a lot of these deals that we talk about with Alabama, it doesn't matter who they play. Alabama will probably do it because, hey, it's Alabama. They always do things like that. All right, next one. The total bowl games that go to overtime this year. Set at 2.5 over under. Last season, three bowl games went to overtime. So you either say, is it going to be three games or more, or less?
Under.
Give me over. I want to see a bunch of overtime games this season. Big deal. All right, next one. Will there be a double overtime game in the bowl season? Simple yes or no. Yes is at plus 110. No is minus 150.
Yes.
Give me no. I'm going to go opposite on that one, Ty. Give me no. I love it. We're doing it. Well, someone's going to get smoked in this.
Yeah, we're going opposite.
I'm probably going to be the one to get smoked. Okay, so here's the next one. Will there be a triple overtime bowl game, Tommy?
No.
I got to go no.
No one has the conditioning on that.
Yeah, I have to go no because I said there'd be no double overtime, so got to go no there. All right. Will there be a shutout in a bowl game? Yes, plus 150. No, minus 200. There was no one shut out. There was one shutout last bowl season. It was the Dollar General Bowl. Appalachian State beat Toledo 34-0. Didn't know the Dollar General Bowl existed, but there it is. So you're saying
the DG,
no? You're saying no?
I got no.
Give me yes. Someone's getting shut out. All right. This is conference bowl props. Total bowl wins for ACC teams. The over-under is set at 4.5. Now, just of note, this does not include the college football championship game. This does not include that bowl game. The ACC was 4-6 in bowl games last year, Tommy. So over under 4.5 for bowl victories by the ACC.
Ooh, not looking at the matchups.
Go over.
Go over?
Yeah.
Okay, give me under. I don't, the ACC is not what it once was. You don't have the Florida State. You don't have the Louisville. You don't have that. Give me under on that one. All right, total bowl wins for the Big 12 is only set at 2.5. Last year, the Big 12 was 5-3 in their bowl games. 2.5.
Under. Over. I mean, they got to play Texas. Texas has to play Georgia. Oklahoma has to play Bama. Those are the teams that are really counting on to win some of these games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, you're maybe right, but I'm going to go over. I'm calling my shot. I'm going to take some risk here. Going to have fun with it. All right, total wins by the Big Ten, over under 4.5. Now, the Big Ten was 7-1 last year in their bowl games, and the only loss was when Michigan lost to South Carolina.
So, what was it, 4.5?
4.5.
I'll go over.
Go over? Yeah, I got to go over on that one, too. Go with that one. All right. Pac-12.
Under. I don't even know what under. Even,
whatever it is. The Pac-12. And it's funny you say that because the Pac-12 went 1-8 last year in bowl games. 1-8. And their only win was when Utah beat West Virginia in the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. So 3.5, you're going under?
Yes.
I'm going under, too. I have to. The Pac-12 is just not a very good conference. All right, and finally, we all know where this one's going. The total bowl wins for the SEC. Over-under is set at 7.5.
Under.
The SEC was 4-5 in bowl games last year, and this does, again, does not include the college football championship game. Going under 7.
Under.
Yeah, geez, 7.5. That is a ton. I'm going under, too. I have to. If it was set at 5.5, I'd probably think about it, but 7.5? Where there's only, what, 11 bowl teams? Hey, listen, I'm a big SEC fan. I love the SEC. I will chant the SEC all day long. But I can't go with that one. That one's just too much. Can't do that one. So, anyways, we got it. We got it locked in. It's kind of an impromptu type of betting that we like to do. Like to have fun with it. Like to make some more little games going on. So we'll see how it plays out. And if I lose again, maybe I'll just never, ever bet again for the rest of my life.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.